financial planner and holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschool children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
We're hearing you, I think so.
We're see now I'm on.
We're all mixed up.
I was not on earlier.
You know, after
everything I just said was is for nothing.
Yeah, well, it's just
it's all in vain.
Vanity.
We've had several problems this morning with the some technical
difficulties. Every time we have a storm that hits us and we have something knocked out, it just seems like the computer is not very cooperative in the morning, and we end up losing all sorts of stuff. And then when we have these, you know, producers that sleep in the morning, it really is rough. No, I'm kidding. He really didn't sleep in. He's been here early trying to resolve this problem. Anyway.
Cut his pay.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, all right, we do have exciting news.
We do. We'll just tell you what the weather is real quick. If you happen to be trying to run out the door, hopefully haven't been too discouraged because the first 8 minutes of Christian Worldview on May 11th, 2005 have not been available to you. I know you've had your second cup of coffee by now, but at least if you're still listening and you're bearing with us, and we hope so, the weather outside is a little bit cool for the morning, 54, 53 degrees, depending on where you are in the upstate. We're going to get up today, though, to be about 83 degrees and under sunny skies. Now, every time the weather tells me it's going to be 83 degrees, at least in the last couple of weeks, it means it's going to be 95. So be prepared for a nice warm day while you sit in your cubicle and stare outside at the sunshine, knowing that other people are enjoying their retirement.
Yeah. Well, the exciting news that I had is we have a website. It's up, tyrannyresponse.com. That's tyrannyresponse.com. If you can't spell tyranny, look it up in a dictionary. And so we'll have the events that you might be driving in your car listening about and you can't write it down and you can't remember it. You can go to the website and take a look at those. One of the events, of course, is the Libertarian meeting at the Prime Sirloin Buffet across from Greenville Mall, which is tomorrow night at 6:30. We'll mention that again later. On today's show.
What else is on that website? I mean, what are listeners going to be able to go and see when they go there? You know, I haven't even
not much yet.
Okay.
Not much yet. But there is a link to your website.
Well, that's the most important thing. Yeah, absolutely. That's the most important
thing. And what
else
really matters?
Right.
But we will have the events posted there. And, of course, we'll also let you know how to get in touch with the Times Examiner and other publications we talk about here on the show. On today's show, we're going to talk about the new national ID card. Yes, Congress is about to pass more legislation to protect you from terrorism. Meanwhile, volunteers are guarding the border. We'll answer the question, who paved the way for socialized medicine? You might be surprised. A South Carolina kid was arrested after bringing certain items to school. What were those items? And who's to blame for the problems in America? Pastors. This, according to a pastor. And finally, is your tax money going to be used to support yet another dictatorship? We'll answer those questions and more on today's edition of Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. John, what do you have for us today?
Well, can I just choose all of the above on that multiple choice set? I think that who's going to be the next dictator, especially? I think all of the I think there will be a new dictator. We always seem to have one, so why would I expect otherwise?
Well, this is actually referring to our money going to support an overseas dictator.
Oh, we have those too.
Another one of those.
Yeah, yeah. We like dictators all over the place. You know, every day I get a little discouraged when I go. Well, I shouldn't be discouraged. I believe in the sovereignty of God, and that helps. It really does. But you know, I look at Fox News every morning and some of the other news sources, and every day for the last couple of weeks, it seems that the main headline is terror bombers kill 17 in Iraq. Today it's terror bombers kill 60 in Iraq. There is complete chaos and civil war that has been started in Iraq on account of George Bush's war over there, supported, unfortunately, by many Christians. Now, I'm not against troops. Obviously, we're not against people who are trying to serve in the military, but we certainly are against imperialistic, silly wars that go on with this kind of folly and just cause all sorts of havoc in other countries.
I would actually tend to blame the terrorists for the bombings.
Yeah, but see, if we hadn't been there in the first place, this kind of stuff would not have occurred.
Instead, it'd be Saddam Hussein killing people, so.
Well, if we just went over there and sliced up Saddam instead, yes, we had a CIA hit, he wouldn't necessarily be there, and there wouldn't be any terror bombers left.
You think we could have done it that easily?
I think so.
Yeah, I don't know. Now, wouldn't the terrorists still complain? I mean, look at it. They've elected their own leaders now. What are they still throwing temper tantrums about? It's not like we're over there running their show.
Well, have they really elected their own leaders? There's some question about the veracity of the whole election process in Iraq, but I don't know enough about it to comment. Maybe a listener does, or maybe you do. Maybe you know something more about it.
Well, I just say these people that target innocent people, these terrorists, I really have no sympathy for them, no sympathy for their cause, because they've shown that they're worse than dogs and should be treated as such.
Yeah, well, there's no question about it. They are that way. I don't have any disagreement with that. I don't like terrorists. Of course, some people would say that George W. Bush himself is a terrorist, and I tend to agree with that particular persuasion. He goes around the world and attacks lots of innocent people. In fact, 100,000 Iraqis probably were killed, innocent people, by George Bush's war. And that's not including the George Bush the First war in Iraq.
Well, I mean, from what I've seen, they did everything they could to avoid civilian casualties. And I think that number might be a bit high from what I've read, but it's hard to sort through all this to find out the real truth. What do you think could have been done different?
Well, I think if they really wanted to get rid of a dictator, they just had to go and hit him. You know, that the one guy and the family members go get the ace of, you know, the 52 people, put some moles over there in Iraq, as you see in the movies, at any rate, and just go ahead and kill them all. And they wouldn't have all this innocent killing. When the army goes in, it claims that it's not doing innocent killings. But the fact of the matter is, it does. It frequently kills innocent people. There's an entire page. In fact, my wife sent it to me. It works showing maimed bodies, people, innocent people who were killed in these attacks, especially many children. It also shows they have pictures on the internet. People, naked Iraqis. They've blurted out the parts that are offensive. As far as, you know, genitalia and whatnot. But you can see they're completely naked and either being raped or in some way molested by U.S. troops in prisons, or if they're just out in the street, there were actually some photographs taken of U.S. soldiers raping Iraqi civilians.
Well, that I would be very skeptical about that. It would seem to me to be some kind of communist or Islamic propaganda, so I'd have to see some kind of sources before I'd believe something like that, to be truthful, honest with you.
Okay. Well, what sources would you need to convince you? What would it have to be, in the New England Journal of Medicine, or how would you be convinced?
Of course, the internet gives it quite a bit of credibility since it's on the internet.
Fox News is, it must
well,
be
well, as much as they whine and complain about a guy standing on a crate holding two wires, I would think that the liberal media would definitely do something about this if those pictures are accurate.
Well, that's an interesting question. Would they? John Kerry was also a war supporter to some extent, so I'm not sure that that's the case. But what advantage would there be to those who uphold the war machine and the effort over there and warmongering in the United States in general to make people believe that there are some real nasty things going on in Iraq? I'm not sure that they would have an advantage to liberals in supporting this.
Well, if we had a media that was overwhelmingly supportive of George Bush, I would say, yes, maybe bad things are going on that we're not hearing about in the mainstream media, but that's definitely not the case.
No, but they are definitely in support of the war in Iraq, it seems to me. They're not as against the war as I might have expected the liberals to be, at least the ones I read. Have you read liberals that are just out and out, besides Michael, what's his name, that did Fahrenheit 9/11?
Michael Moore.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's a guy who's definitely against the war in Iraq, but I don't detect that when I listen to the talking heads on CBS or ABC or any of these news sources. They seem more or less supportive of the efforts over in Iraq. Am I mistaken?
I hear a lot of complaining about the war in Iraq from the Democrats, of course, and also in the media. And as far as the hardcore anti-war groups, I've spent quite a bit of time debating those guys on the streets.
Okay. Well, you know, we've gone past our 15-minute break point, but, you know, we started our show so late. What do you think?
True.
Should we even have a break point this morning? We should probably just continue on and go to our next scheduled break in about 3 minutes.
We can do that. No, I've got one thing to bring up. Speaking of criminals, there's an organization, and this is terrible, folks, an organization that has just a little more than 500 employees. Among those employees, you will find that 36 have been accused of spousal abuse. 7 have been arrested for fraud. 19 have been accused of writing bad checks. 117 have directly or indirectly bankrupted at least 2 businesses. 3 have done time for assault. 71 cannot get a credit card due to bad credit. 14 have been arrested on drug-related charges. 8 have been arrested for shoplifting. 21 are currently are defendants in lawsuits. And 84 have been arrested for drunk driving in the last year. What group could this be? The NBA, possibly? The NFL? What do you think, John?
United States Congress?
Ta-da! We have a winner.
Yes.
Did you get this email?
No.
Are we sure this is accurate? That this is... Well, it probably is.
It probably came off the internet, so it's questionable.
If it came off the internet, I trust it.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I would like to see a little bit more detail on this, but if this is true, which it very well may be, that's pretty bad stuff. We got it from the research staff, and they wouldn't lead us astray, would they?
No, the research staff is very, very meticulous in how they sort through their data, and I'm sure we can believe what they have to say.
Okay.
They at least have good intentions, if they do make a mistake here and there, but generally they're pretty good. Well, you know, what about this story from Chuck Baldwin? When is that in our lineup of things to do?
About the pastor problem?
Yeah, because on this show, he was talking to me saying it was not the fault of the pastors that we had so much trouble, at least not so much their fault. It was mainly a laity problem, that people who sit in the pews were not active enough in politics and are ignorant and milquetoasty and so forth.
Now, for those of you that don't know, Chuck Baldwin is a pastor. He's also a writer, and he's got quite a bit of notoriety on the internet among us right-wing extremist types. And so he wrote this about pastors being the problem. But you're telling us that when he was on this show, that he did not say that.
No, he clearly he laid the biggest lion's share of the blame on the people here. By the way, he was also the vice presidential candidate for the Constitution Party, which is probably where he's more famous for in recent months, at any rate.
Yeah, that makes him known by like 250 people.
Yeah, well, at least. In fact, the Constitution Party, Christian Exodus sent out a thing this morning saying that 2/3 of their members were from the Constitution Party, and that 956,000 people in America voted for a Constitution Party member. Now, they also claim that the third largest party in America, they've surpassed the Libertarian Party, which I still have doubts about, by the way.
Wow.
Because the Libertarian Party should be at least 2 or 3 times that size, but... By and large, still, we're a drop in the bucket compared to the 100 million people who vote, and most of them, of course, are voting for, Tweedledee or Tweedledum.
Correct. So, but Chuck Baldwin, the guy we're talking about, now, I guess he's changed his tune. Did you cause him to see the light?
Well, let's read what he has to say here. He says, this column is especially difficult for me to write. Maybe he had, an epiphany. Or maybe after just being on the show with their tyranny response unit, he saw the light,
Well, he makes a point. He says that, it's tough being a pastor, that the pastor's never off duty. He works 24/7. And, the pastors are underestimated, underappreciated.
Was there a small violin playing in the background?
Pay isn't that great? Oh. I wish we had that sound effect. Can we get the violin sound effect? His wife, the pastor's wife and children live under microscopes, and virtually everyone lays claim to the pastor's time, and they're, criticized, denigrated.
Well, everybody's got a bad boss, though. That's what's in the... I mean, if I got paid $80,000 or $100,000 a year, and all I had to do is go preach a sermon and listen to some people's problems...
Oh, there's more to it than that, John. You just don't know. Okay. But, of course, a lot of these pastors don't get paid nearly that much either.
Right.
So, he starts off talking about how bad pastors have it and what a rough job it is.
Yes.
And he says it's no wonder that pastors are leaving the ranks at record numbers, and are wandering from church to church like gypsies. And it says, no wonder so many pastors' children turn out bad. We call them PKs. And no wonder so many, that means pastor's kid, so many pastors are having stress-induced heart attacks. But he does say that the problem in America is a pastor problem, and that the nation is collapsing from within because pastors are sitting idly on the sidelines, refusing to be trumpets for truth.
Yeah, he says here, instead of championing truth, today's pastors champion political parties. They cater to wealthy contributors, they wiggle around controversy, and grovel before government bureaucrats. That's a great statement. That'll almost be on our quotations page here on Policy of Liberty, or on the tyrannyresponse.com website.
Yeah, that is good. That is interesting. Well, I'd like to hear from maybe a listener that would say either they agree or they may have a pastor, know of a pastor that either fits this description or does not. Chuck says in his column that no duty or responsibility is any greater than that of being God's watchman. Unlike any other, the pastor stands as a voice for truth in the midst of a cacophony of lies and distortion. And the pastor's job description is found in the Bible. And God told Isaiah, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up the voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression." God told Jeremiah, "See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy, to throw down, to build and to plant." And of course, John the Baptist went to prison, eventually lost his head. And what was that for? That was for denouncing Herod's adulterous relationship with his brother's wife. Now, we had some pastors that spoke out against the Clinton administration. And of course, I think it's sad that many pastors would speak out against the Clinton's domestic spending, for example. But when we have George Bush come along, who professes Christ, and his domestic spending is equally egregious, those same pastors, most of them, don't say anything.
You're sure right about that.
Which is sad. I mean, is our allegiance to God or is it to the Republican Party?
Well, apparently, for them, it's a lot. The Republican Party and the church are about the same thing. You know, I'll just read another section here of what Chuck had to say, agreeing entirely with what you just said, Richie. Of course, it doesn't take a brain surgeon to figure out that today's avant-garde preachers are being cheered on by a host of friends and supporters. After all, look at the big churches in America today. What do you see? Do you see big pastors marching in pro-life rallies? Do you see them carrying placards outside of abortion clinics? Do you see them rushing to the side of Terry Schiavo? In this regard, the Reverend Jesse Jackson was willing to do what not one big-name evangelical leader was willing to do. Amazing. Do you hear them challenging President Bush when he refuses to assist Alabama Chief Justice Roy Moore, when he increases federal spending for abortion providers, or when he appoints numerous open homosexuals to high public office? Yeah, where are these guys? Make no mistake about it. The actions and inactions of big-name pastors are meticulously calculated. They have been well-schooled in the art of what is socially and politically acceptable and what is not, and they are rewarded, are they not, with bigger and bigger congregations and greater notoriety. So where is the incentive for the little preacher to speak out? Well, he's really blasting, it seems to me here, a lot of pastors out there in America today.
Let me ask you this, John.
Yeah.
What would your opinion be of the German church in the late 1930s or early 1940s? Would you have a high opinion of them?
I sure wouldn't. No,
why is that, John?
Because they accepted neo-orthodoxy and they accepted an ecumenical movement that was totally unbiblical and also a social gospel ideology.
Well, I mean, of course, what they're most well known for is that they didn't really do anything to stop what Hitler was doing.
Yes.
And a lot of people would say that that's bad, but I have found out that they built some really nice buildings.
And the church did? Nice
the
church
German
buildings.
Church, and I'm hoping this will change your opinion about them, okay?
Well, that's what's important.
Yes,
the architecture.
They didn't do anything as Hitler started his mess over there, but they had some nice buildings, and they had some really dynamic music.
What kind of
in their church services? Does that change your opinion?
Well, the dynamic music might not, but the architecture sure might. I mean, we're talking about steel columns here, or and glass, or are we talking about something that looks more Gothic or Baroque or whatever they call that era?
No, big warehouse type buildings with jumbotron TVs in them.
I'm now starting to get it. Okay.
Yeah. So I'm saying, sure they didn't do anything about genocide and all that, but you know they were building some nice buildings. They had some great seeker friendly services. They had some really good music in the church, and I think that once we know that, then we realize that they were pretty great.
Yeah, it reminds me of a Venus flytrap or something. It looks pretty on the outside, and all of a sudden you get smashed.
Well, folks, the point is, I mean, years from now when they look back on the churches that we think are so great now, and you know, people might ask, well, why didn't they do anything to stop abortion? Well, what's your priorities? You know, what's really important? Is it really important, these things that we think are important in a church? Or is it important that a church would speak out on issues like abortion?
Well, I had one. We had a listener call the show not too long ago, and she, you know, she was opposing all sorts of things, whether it be homosexual rights or abortion rights and so forth. And she thinks all these things obviously are evil and unbiblical. But she said that once government passed it into law, that really she could no longer, you know, oppose these things in a political way that would violate someone else's rights, because to violate the law would be to go against what God and His sovereignty had set over her. And so she believes she had no choice but to accept what was dealt to her in this land. Now, we don't agree with that particular perspective here at Christian Worldview. I suppose you don't either, Richie.
That's some pretty weak theology there.
Yeah, I would say so, too. But the theology is based on the idea of this, you know, the revitalized divine right of kings, where, hey, God's authority in the world is the king, and if he speaks for God, basically, and you need to basically go along with what it is. That's what God's dealt you in His sovereignty as far as the state you have to live under, so go for it.
You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. That's him. I'm Rippin' Richie. The number to call in to be on the show is 244-8177. That's in the 864 area code. That's 244-8177. We're about to take a break, but we'll ask this one question. Can you name a Bible preacher that wasn't thrown in jail at least once? Be right back.
Is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money, and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen, and in the name of law commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, P-R-O-S as in professionals, your nonprofit professionals, that's NPPros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
I would rather be exposed to the inconveniences attending too much liberty than to those attending too small a degree of it. Thomas Jefferson.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And we welcome you back into Christian Worldview. This is Dr. John Coben, your Tyranny Response Unit. Joining me this week is Rippin' Richie Williams. Glad he's in the studio with us. We can barely fit in here, it seems, sometimes. A little claustrophobic, but that's okay. We're happy to have him on the air and sharing his thoughts. Rippin' Richie is thinking about possibly doing an afternoon show of his own on the Tyranny Response Network. And so this is sort of our introductory week, our trial week, if whatever you want to call it. If you're getting ready to go to work, at any rate, right now, you're about mid-50s in the upstate, and we're going to get up into the mid-80s today under sunny skies, so it should be a beautiful beautiful spring day here in upstate South Carolina. Well, you know, there was an interesting story that came up. I just got to broach this one real quickly here before we get on to other things. Stupidity virus strikes South Carolina. Do we ever have anything that doesn't surprise us that goes on in public schools? No, I don't think so. Anyway, an 11-year-old boy at Rawlson Road Middle School in Rock Hill, South Carolina, that's near Charlotte for those of you listening abroad, not up here in the upstate, was arrested for carrying 10 nails in his pocket and charged with carrying an unlawful weapon in the Associated Press reports. Diane McRae, assistant principal in Ralston Middle School, asked the child Wednesday what he was jingling in his pocket, and the student gave her the 3.5-inch long nails. A school resource officer arrested him. What do you think about this?
I don't know. Was this a kid that was doing some carpentry work after school or something and had these nails with him?
Maybe he was trying to nail shut the front door of the public school to try to save people's lives, you know, sort of. it's almost the equivalent of you know, blockading an abortion clinic anymore. You try to keep kids out of the public school to protect their life and liberty.
I mean, are those considered deadly weapons?
Well, evidently they are. I don't know. Maybe the principal had never seen a 3.5-inch long nail before or something and figured it was some sort of a missile. Maybe it could be launched out of a, you know, I don't know, maybe a spitball.
Well, I saw a movie with some guy that could, like, throw small objects, and he could throw them so hard that they'd, like, go through people and stuff. But
the principal had just seen that movie then, maybe.
That could be.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe the principal had just seen that movie and thought it was dangerous. But I tell you what would surprise me if I found out what happened in a public school, if they actually learned something about the Constitution. Now, that would shock me coming from the public school, but... No incident like this would surprise me.
Yeah, well, the chance of people learning about the Constitution in a public school is pretty slim today. Now, you may find isolated cases here and there, these archaic, anachronistic little schools that might do something like that, but the vast majority, especially the movement in general, is to move away from the principles of the Founding Fathers and move towards secular humanism and all this other nonsense. Did you see that email about the... The Pledge of Allegiance we got the other day, the basic tenets of it, one of our listeners sent in after the show a question to the show, and it had to do with a link that was regarding this, the Pledge of Allegiance and its founding. Did you see that one?
I don't think I went to the link yet.
Well, the link made a big deal about this guy who was trained up at Rochester Baptist Seminary. Now, I don't know what good goes on at Rochester Baptist Seminary. This is 1850. Yeah, it's definitely Yankee. It's probably liberal. It's not too far away from Joseph Smith was digging up golden tablets, I don't think. So,
you know, I actually lived in Binghamton, New York,
uh-huh.
For about 6 years in that area. And we actually, I saw that where the Mormons had the thing. There was some plaque the Mormons put up next to a river, and it was...
the spot where he dug them up.
It was John the Baptist, and he had his hands on two guys' heads, and he was levitating or something. It was... Real inspirational.
Man. Yeah, I bet it was. well, at any rate, this guy went to the seminary and decided that Jesus was a socialist and the early church was a socialist organization, and he began preaching sermons on Acts chapter 4 and elsewhere, disproving that Christ and the apostles and so forth were all socialists. So he became a Christian socialist, and as part of his Christian socialism, he created a Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, because of course socialists need the state. It's a major part of their program to not only govern society but really to indoctrinate society, and therefore the Pledge of Allegiance that we now have was originally started by the Christian socialist, a wayward Baptist.
Well, I did read that on probably a different article on the internet a couple of days ago. I can't say. Do we know what the sources are for this? Do we know that these are legitimate sources?
Well, it seemed real credible. It was a colorful web page, and I always trust whatever's on the internet.
If it's a nice looking web page,
yeah.
then I'd probably say it is credible.
Right, precisely. Well, we can go to that link. I think I might even have it here. This is an anti-war one. I have a couple of articles that were sent in by folks. Here it is. Truthandhistory.org.
I think the guy's name was Francis Bellamy. Is that correct?
I think that's the guy's name, Bellamy. Yeah. Look at how pretty that web page is.
That is a decent looking, and they even have an audio file on
that's
there.
Right. I better make sure it's muted so it won't come through.
That does lend some credence to it, right. For sure.
They put in a lot of time to pledge or not to pledge. Historical facts behind the writing of the Pledge of Allegiance. What was the author's original intent behind the wording of the Pledge of Allegiance to the American flag by Charles Jennings? Generally, most Americans blindly accept our national values and traditions without question or doubt. Most 20th century Americans have been so occupied with living the good life of ease, pleasure, and materialism, they have neglected to safeguard their culture, Christian faith, and philosophical heritage. Many strange ideas and foreign concepts have crept into the average American psyche without notice or question, and therefore have become mainstream thought patterns, which has set a standard by which our society is governed. Well, we're the strange and ideas and foreign concepts, I think, right here on the Christian Worldview Show. We just haven't crept into the average psyche without notice yet. We're hoping to. That would be really great if we could, but so far we're still just on the strange and foreign concepts level.
Yeah, we need better computers.
Yes, that helps. Well, at least our internet's working today. One example of this condition is the lack of knowledge concerning the history behind the writing of the Pledge of Allegiance to our national flag. Without doubt, the knowledge of most Americans concerning the writer, his political philosophy, his major objective, and his long-range influence on our national life would be considered slim to none. He talks about here the statist education that goes on, the culture war, and this guy Francis Bellamy, who basically started. He was born in Mount Morris, New York. Do you know where that is? That sounds like Yankee territory.
I know New York is up north. Mount Morris, I'm not familiar with that particular city.
Okay, all right. Well, yeah, it's probably up north also because it's in New York, but I'm not sure. It might be that New York.
Yeah, most of New York is in the north.
Yeah, they have islands though in New York, and maybe some of them have floated down southward or something. I don't know.
Well, one of them did. It's called Florida.
That's true. I forgot about that. It's how did it attach itself to the mainland's the big question. I just don't know anything about physics, I guess. Anyway, this guy was born in 1872 and entered the University of Rochester as a ministerial student. For his graduation commencement, he spoke about the poetry of human brotherhood. In the speech, he applauded the concepts of the French Revolution. Not the American Revolution. That's different, folks. And he said it awakened man to a realization of his personal dignity and God-given rights. He soon began to advocate the French Revolutionary slogan of liberty, equality, and fraternity. And then, while a pastor, he gave a speech entitled Jesus the Socialist and a series of sermons on the socialism of the primitive church. So he was actually pastoring this Baptist church in Dearborn Street in Boston. So we know Boston has a heritage of badness and vileness. Yeah. We can only look at John Kerry and Ted Kennedy and some of the other tramps that live up there and realize this. But this is where
it all
started.
Sam Adams, but that was a long time ago.
Yeah, but see, Sam Adams was displaced by Bellamy here in 1885. He was pastor in this church. Whatever happened to the good patriotic people in Massachusetts? I mean, this state is a former American state.
Yeah. I mean, there used to be some good people from up that way.
It's not only gay Unionville, it's anti-gunville, it's pro-socialismville, it's everything evilville. I mean, it's worse than California. It's just a drop in the size compared to California, but it does far more evil.
Yeah, I mean, you think about what you got, Kerry, Kennedy, Barney Frank, to name a few.
Yeah, yeah, and then you got all these universities up there which are doing just wonders for the movement for freedom and liberty.
Well, let's talk about this now. Dr. John, wasn't Jesus a socialist? Didn't he want everybody to share their stuff?
Yeah, he immediately applied to the state, if you didn't notice. He went and talked to Herod. He did say, beware of the leaven of Herod, by the way. That's a Bible quote. You can look it up. Just look in your little online dictionary and find out what verse it is exactly. No, actually, he ran right up to Herod and said, look, here's what we need to do. We got people with needs out here, and in order to meet these needs, we need to set up a little program. What I want you to do is tax all these rich people over here, and even some others. In fact, if they don't have enough money, go and blast some war or some people by war over in India or Indonesia and sack all their goods, bring them back over here, and then we'll sell them and make some money and be able to pay for some programs. We need to have everybody entitled to free medical care. They all need to be educated. Look, there's some illiterate people. They need to speak at least four languages. Not only that, they need to understand how the government system works of Rome. And beyond that, we need to go even further at the changing the behavior of these people because they're a little bit backwards.
Original Jesse Jackson.
Yeah, he was. He would really went around. Didn't you notice any of these things in the scripture I just mentioned? They should be familiar to you if you just read the Gospels.
I don't have that version. What's that, the Socialist Utopia version?
Yeah, it was authored by this guy Bellamy.
It's worse than NIV.
Bellamy. Yeah, it sure is worse than NIV, I would think. No, but this is preposterous, this guy's claims about Jesus being a socialist.
Well, a lot of people think that, but what's the major problem with that theory?
Well, a lot of people listen to George Bush and think he's a Christian, too. I have people arguing with me. So, I mean, the people are deceived. The common person is just not really with it.
Right, but in Acts, they did say to to, you know, sell your stuff and share it with everybody.
Then they didn't say that. It says, if you read the scripture, it said they chose voluntarily to sell their goods and have all things in common.
And that's the difference. That it was not forced by the government,
or even
which
by
is a huge difference,
or even by the church leaders. The church leaders weren't forcing these people to be socialists at all.
Right. They it was still there. Yeah. So nobody was forced into it. So if you want to have your voluntary, you know, socialism, which I wouldn't even call it socialism, then you know, go ahead. You can volunteer to mm-hmm. give away as much of your money to the poor as you want to.
Right.
But there's nothing in the Bible about the government forcing people to do that.
Yes. Just closing words from this article, and we might talk about the pledge a little bit too. He said, the word allegiance was taken from Lincoln's Oath of Allegiance for rebellious Southerners. The word indivisible was in opposition to the concept of secession, which resulted from the War for Southern Independence of 1861 to 1865. Both ideas were intended as propaganda tools for altering the minds of school children nationwide, and especially those of the South. Bellamy's idea of liberty and justice for all found in the 14th, 15th, and 16th Amendments were really substitute words that he felt forced to use instead of his desired slogan in the French Revolution, which was liberty, equality, and fraternity. Francis Bellamy, as a Christian socialist in conjunction with many other liberal thinkers and writers of his day, favored a socialistic, centralized federal government as opposed to traditional conservative Christianity and local government concepts of the South. I guess this is a Southerner writing this, and good. It's a good thing. We appreciate Southerners. He, along with his cousin Edward, became the heroes of John Dewey and other advocates of progressive education.
Oh, boy.
This man was evil through and through, I'm telling you, which 100 years has resulted in producing a morally corrupt, anti-Christian, multicultural, secular public school system, which now openly opposes traditional Christian culture. Well, he's right on the money as far as this goes, Richie. I couldn't agree more. If this is really where the Pledge of Allegiance came from, then I just don't see how in any way I would want anything to do with it. We need to expose this thing as being completely evil.
Well, we need to realize, I mean, we need to separate. There's our defense and our belief in the principles of the Declaration of Independence. And then on this side, there's our blind allegiance to our current group of politicians or our current federal government. And those two things are very, very different.
You're sure right about that. Well, you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coe. We're trying to get ourselves back on schedule after our little production glitches this morning, so we're going to go ahead and take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to TRN. Tired of superficial and dull talk radio? Try some ear candy for thinking people. Listen to Liberty Minute with Dr. John Coben.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschool children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Welcome back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. He's John Coben. I'm Rippin' Richie. The call-in number is 244-8177, 244-8177. We've got great news today. A new website, tyrannyresponse.com. That's tyrannyresponse.com. www.christianworldview.com. You can go there. You can see what events are coming up. And you can also get a link to Dr. John Coben's site, policyofliberty.net. All right, on today's show, we're going to discuss the new national ID card. Yes, more legislation to protect you from terrorism. Meanwhile, volunteers are guarding the border. And we'll answer the question, who paved the way for socialized medicine? Who could it be? You might be surprised. Might not be. And is your tax money going to be used to support yet another dictatorship? We'll answer those questions and more on today's edition of Christian Worldview. We're live from 7:30 to 9 weekday morning. So if you're hearing us in those times, we're live. If it's a different time of the day, we are not live. Don't bother calling.
Well, you know, we have been remiss in checking our making our announcements this morning. We're not to make a few.
Oh goodness,
I'll
make one. Go ahead.
I'll make the ones for the Libertarian Party. And then after I make this announcement,
well, I want to make the one for the Libertarian Party.
You want to make the one for the Libertarian Party?
No, you can't. I guess.
Oh, all right.
Okay.
I it really doesn't matter to me. It honestly doesn't.
They're meeting tomorrow night, right?
Well, let's see. I believe they are. Is today Wednesday? I was getting
today's Wednesday. Tomorrow's Thursday. They're meeting at the Prime Sirloin Buffet. Is that
okay? What's that?
Across from Greenville Mall.
He says, are you tired of politicians who raise taxes, invade your privacy, and assume that you do not have a sense to make your own decisions?
The answer is yes.
Try voting Libertarian for a change. There's your answer, Richie. Would you like to meet, and you did, by the way.
Actually, yes, I did.
Okay. And tell us the story. Wasn't it because you didn't know, you couldn't remember Peruchka's name? Is that what it was? Something like that?
No, it was this past time. I was just too lazy to do the write-in ballot, so I just voted for the Libertarian. But I found out he's a pretty good guy afterwards.
He was a good guy. He was one of the best Libertarian candidates we've seen for president. You know, some Libertarians, us pro-life Libertarians, we just can't stomach voting for, and we defect quickly over to the Constitution Party in certain cases. But there's some of them which are a little nutty, too, so it's just it's on a case-by-case
surely
basis.
You jest.
Oh, I always jest, you know me. Anyway, I interrupted their announcement here. Let's go on back to the announcement. Would you like to meet other Libertarians to find, you'll find they're regular people like you, concerned about the state of our republic and willing to act on that concern? Our business meeting is 6:30 p.m. the second Thursday of the month. That's tomorrow night at the Prime Sirloin Restaurant on Woodruff Road across from Greenville Mall. Visitors are welcome. To talk politics, join us for the meetup at 8 p.m. the fourth Wednesday of the month. It's a cafe underground just off of Main Street downtown. We would love to swap ideas with you for restoring limited constitutional government. Thank you for supporting the Libertarian Party and Christian Worldview on the Tyranny Response Network.
It may interest you to know that there's a politically incorrect, uncensored monthly newspaper that sometimes publishes the Tyranny Response Unit's writing. It's called First Freedom, and a supporter of this show, Nelson Waller, offers any of our listeners a free postpaid sample copy of it. Call Nelson at 864-642-4315 if interested. You can also sample this fine paper's material at www.gulftel.com/firstfreedom. It picks up where the liberal media leave off.
We also want to let you know about the Institute on the Constitution. This is held at South Point Baptist Church every Monday evening. A Tyranny Response Unit was present at the last one, and as usual, although it wasn't there the whole meeting, it was a great meeting. It's an excellent opportunity for you to begin thinking about the vision of the Founding Fathers and how it's integrated, hopefully, with the our Christian faith. You can call Pastor Tony Rome at 864-269-1443 for information or to register. That's 864-269-1443. And you'll be glad you attended the next meeting. The next meeting will be the number 6 out of 12 that'll be presented there at South Point Baptist Church in Pelzer. You know, before we go on here, I just wanted to acknowledge, we try to acknowledge immediately on the show when emails arrive, and I'm not sure when this one arrived. It was overnight or right during the show here, but Chuck writes in and he says, "Hi, John and Richie. Among the many interesting topics on yesterday's show, you mentioned Social Security and Ponzi. Perhaps your listeners would be amused to learn of the details of this colorful man." And he gives a web page where you can actually go to find out. He says, "It's incredible to me that the debate on Social Security so often turns on which particular date it runs out of money, often with a pretense that a trust fund exists in any meaningful sense rather than in actuarial soundness. I assure your audience that if any of them try this at home, the government will suddenly become aware that it is a fraud." Yes.
Yeah, if you cooked up some private business came up with a scam like the Social Security scam, then they'd be thrown in prison. I'm not talking about they'd be put on their property with an ankle bracelet like a Martha Stewart. I'm talking about prison.
Yeah, I would think so, too. And this website is home.nycap.rr.com/useless/Ponzi. We might put that on our website.
Yeah, we'll have to link to that one.
And it just says how it all started. Carlo Charles Ponzi was born in Parma, Italy in 1882 and then emigrated to the United States in November of 1903. Over the next 14 years, Ponzi wandered from city to city and from job to job. He worked as a dishwasher, waiter, store clerk, and even as an Italian interpreter. Then he began to head the Social Security... Oh, no, excuse me. In 1917, he settled back into Boston, where he took a job typing and answering foreign mail. It was here in Boston that a fateful day in August 1919 that Ponzi discovered.
There's Boston again.
That's right. Can anything good come out of Boston? Since Sam Adams and those guys, it's been downhill ever since. The fateful day in August of 1919 that Ponzi discovered the mechanism to make him both him and his investors very wealthy. At the time, Ponzi was considering issuing an export magazine. He had written a letter about the proposed publication to a gentleman in Spain. When Ponzi received his reply, the man had included an international postal reply coupon. The idea behind this enclosure was quite simple. Ponzi was to take the coupon to his local post office and exchange it for American postage stamps. He would then use the American postage stamps to send the magazine to Spain. Ponzi noticed that the postal coupon had been purchased in Spain for about 1 cent in American funds, yet when it cashed it in, he was able to get 6 American 1 cent stamps. Just think of the possibilities if you could do this with $100 worth of stamps in Spain and then cash them in for $600 worth of stamps in the United States. So anyway, this says Ponzi's mind quickly went into overdrive and devised a clever scheme to capitalize on the idea. He was determined to be a rich man. We don't have time to read this entire article on here, but essentially, with a Ponzi scheme, the first people that pay in are promised a high return, just like with Social Security, and they do so and actually do get a high return because so many other members join in the organization, contributing a small amount of money, which adds up to a large amount that goes to pay off the first people. Then the third ring of people come in, and they pay off the second ring, and it continues to go on until eventually you have an overbloated system that collapses in and on itself because there's no one left to fund the final rung, and those people are left literally holding the bag.
Well, the people at the beginning are dependent on a larger group of people coming in after them and getting a piece of that action, but the group can only increase in size for so long, and then after that, it's over.
Right, especially if we continue abortion in this country, which is knocked off. How many people we've murdered here, or has the government allowed murder?
It's between 40 and 50 million.
Yeah, that's only since 1973. We don't know how many were actually murdered before then, either, do we?
Right, right.
And there were some other killings before that time. Yes, we're not unwilling on Christian Worldview to call abortion what it is, murder. It's not just manslaughter. In Chile, where I used to live, it was considered manslaughter. Here, it should just be considered premeditated murder. In fact, everywhere, not just here. It is just the brutal slaying of an innocent person.
True, true. Well, the National ID card, have you heard about that? The House of Representatives just passed a bill that contains provisions establishing a National ID card. It's Orwellian, isn't it?
It is.
The Senate will probably approve the measure in the next few days. Now, this is from yesterday, so I guess it hasn't gone through just yet, I don't think. Within 2 years, every American will need a conforming national ID card to participate in ordinary activities. This Real ID, they call it, Real ID Act, establishes a massive, centrally coordinated database of highly personal information about American citizens. At a minimum, name, date of birth, place of residence, Social Security number, and physical characteristics. It also grants open-ended authority to the Secretary of Homeland Security to require biometric information on IDs in the future.
Well, let's get it. What is biometric information? Do you have any idea what that is?
Bio has something to do with biology, and metric is the metric system, so I guess it's, I don't know.
Maybe it's talking about the biological beliefs of those who live in metric measurement countries or something.
There could be.
Isn't it actually dealing with something to do with your body? Things about your body DNA could be your height and weight, I suppose. Could be, you know, whether you have, you know,
stuff you're allergic to,
blood and nicotine in your urine, or, you know, I think it has to do with the measurements of your certain body functions.
Well, you should know. You're a doctor.
That's way outside of my field, pal.
Oh, okay.
Well, I don't. I'd be careful before I walk on that grass. I just asked my wife. She's a physician. She understands all these sorts of things. I could ask her in a minute. She'd tell me. But remember, I went to a public school. I've been educated post age 19 Because of that, I'm debilitated for the rest of my life. Many things I don't know.
I also am a victim of the public schools.
Sad.
My name is Richard, and I went to a public school. Hello, Richard. Somebody got it here. Your driver's license could contain a retina scan, fingerprints, DNA information. There you go.
See, and, that's biometric, isn't it?
And radio frequency technology. Does that mean you'll be able to listen to a TRN on your driver's license?
I don't know. I think it means you have a radio frequency in your brain.
I think it means they're going to maybe they use it for GPS tracking or something.
If they put an antenna in me, I might be able to listen, though, and not have to turn on the stereo. I don't know.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Or if you had braces. Hmm. I think this sounds far-fetched. The Real ID Act, you can read for yourself. It's available at the Library of Congress website. Now, by the way, what I'm reading is from a congressman. Ron Paul. He's actually probably my favorite congressman.
That's right.
Terrorism is the excuse given for virtually every new power grab by the federal government. The national ID card is no exception. But federal agencies have tried to create a national ID card for years, long before 9/11. In 96, they tried to put a bill through that tried to do exactly what the current bill is doing, and that's transform state driver's licenses into de facto national ID cards. Now, at the time they tried to pass it in 96, Congress was flooded with calls by angry constituents, and then that bill died. I guess that's not the case now because we're scared of terrorists. Proponents of the Real ID Act continue to make the preposterous claim that the bill does not establish a national ID card, but the Real ID card transformed state motor vehicle departments into agents of the federal government. So your local driver's license will be used as basically as this federal ID card. They could nationalize standards for driver's licenses and birth certificates. And then, you know, he says having the name of your particular state on the ID is meaningless window dressing.
Well, it's scary stuff, all this stuff. It really is. And even if you go through airports nowadays, you find out that you have to give an infrared thumbprint just to come through an international border. They are trying to find out as much as they can and categorize in a central database information about Americans and other people that come here. And it's not just to prevent terrorism, folks. These people are doing this because, in my opinion, they want more control. They want to deny people in America various liberties that were guaranteed to us under the Bill of Rights. It's part of a plot, in a sense, by people who have a leftist perspective on life to undermine American ideas.
Well, think how backwards this is, that we actually want the American citizens to have this national ID card supposedly to stop terrorism. Meanwhile, our borders are not secure, and people can just cross the border at any time with not much resistance.
Yeah, well, it's certainly true, and the reason government has completely failed to protect the border. You have another interesting topic and a story about that. While you're looking for that, we may have to do that right after the break, actually. But there are different ways you can look at the border problem. Obviously, illegal immigration is one issue. Terrorism crossing the border is something entirely different. But if government has failed to protect the border, how can we assume that the civil government or the state now would be able to do so otherwise? Private volunteers seem pretty effective, just showing that free market solutions would be a lot cheaper and probably a lot more effective than anything the state would do. But again, that's a whole different issue. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben and co-host Rip and Richie Williams today. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media, Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
A wise and frugal government, which shall restrain men from injuring one another, which shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their own pursuits of industry and improvement, and shall not take from the mouth of labor the bread it has earned. This is the sum of good government. Thomas Jefferson, in his first presidential inaugural address, 1801.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. We want to thank you for flying TRN Airways. Now, if you'll just look out of your left side window, you can see the dense clouds of liberal lunacy commonly polluting the airwaves. On the right side, you can see clear skies full of common sense, liberty-minded conversation. Now, as we enter the Christian worldview airspace, we'll be experiencing clear-headed thinking, and we'll soon be reaching logical conclusions. Feel free to recline your seat and enjoy the remainder of the flight. And thank you for flying TRN Airways.
As nations cannot be rewarded or punished in the next world, they must be so in this. By an inevitable chain of causes and effects, Providence punishes national sins by national calamities. George Mason.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
We welcome you. I think we welcome you back. Here we are.
We welcome you back.
Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. The weather at the moment, you're about 60 degrees here in the upstate, and it's going to be up to the mid-80s, they say. Don't believe them. It'll be 95 again, just like it has been the last few days. But it'll be a beautiful day here in the upstate of South Carolina if you happen to be on your way out to work this morning. Want to make a quick plug before we go back to our stories for our friends over at the Times Examiner, who have just published this week's edition with the Tyranny Response Unit's current article on Christians and self-defense against criminals, even the state. That's right. Did you know the state can be a criminal organization? Well, you can hear me read it on the website at policyofliberty.net, or you can just go ahead and pick up a copy of the Times Examiner and find out why. That's my column for this week, and next week for that matter, a two-part series. You'll also be able to find columns by Dr. Walter Williams, Thomas Sowell, Joe Sobrand, Charlie Reese, and local favorites occasionally, like Juliet Kozak was in there recently, Ben Graydon, as well as Stephen Yates. Dr. Yates will probably join us here on Christian Worldview tomorrow and give us an overview of what the Christian Worldview is from a PhD in philosophy's perspective. He is a Christian libertarian. We always enjoy having him on the show whenever possible. Pick up a copy of the Times Examiner at 44 Pine Knoll Drive in Greenville. You can give Bob Dill a call at 864-268-0576. That's 864-268-0576. Subscription is only $25 a year, $27 a year if you live out of state. Christian Exodus members take notice of that, and it's well worth every penny you pay for that. And it's a very low price, obviously, for the great amount of information you get from the magazine. So what else have we got, Rich?
Well, we're going to talk about another foreign policy debacle, if you can imagine that. By the way, today's the 11th of May, and it's Wednesday, and we're live from 7:30 to 9 a.m. So if you're listening to us between 7:30 and 9 a.m., we are live. Talking about foreign policy again, our governments spend billions of dollars propping up various dictatorships, only later to ask our sons and daughters to fight and die in an attempt to overthrow those very same dictatorships. Have you seen that happen, John?
Well, of course, that's right. And that's all part of the plan, as far as I'm concerned. Why would you actually ever want to engender peace, prosperity, and so forth in these other countries? Destabilization is always a benefit to the state. Status have an advantage of having a destabilized world because it allows a reason for their existence. If everything's peachy keen and things are going along well and there's prosperity and peace and so forth, why do we even need a state? People are gonna reject it because they don't want to pay out more than half of their money every year for the thing. And so they need to continue to cause problems, cause destabilization. I think this thing is orchestrated, frankly, by people who were in power.
Well, I think that the mentality that brings us about is the same mentality as most of the voters in America, and that's choosing the lesser of two evils. And I think at some point we thought that Hussein and Iraq was the lesser of two evils compared to Iran, and so we supported Hussein, just as many people support the lesser of two evil political candidates, and we see where that got us. Republicans seem to have a more egregious record than Democrats regarding supporting dictators overseas. Recently, the Bush administration decided to send nearly $2 billion, with a B, to guess where? The Sudan, for reconstruction, development, and humanitarian aid. Now, a senior State Department official said there are no strings attached to the money.
That's a good deal.
Unbelievable.
Well, and anything is believable with these guys. We read the story in the show the other day, and they're just going to bail it out with pitchfork out of the back of the plane, and wherever it lands, hey, by the way, this is a $10,000 wad, or this is a $50,000, go and spend as you please.
Well, for those of you that don't know, that over the past 20 years, the Sudanese Marxist government, with the help and assistance of Red China and the United Nations, they've raped, pillaged, and plundered, tortured, murdered, sold into slavery more than 2 million people in southern Sudan, most of them Christians.
Well, they're Coptics, right? They're not necessarily evangelicals, but still, they're people, and it's bad when the state murders people, but...
Well, yeah, and for us to send money to supposedly help these people, I mean, you honestly think that this Marxist government is going to funnel that money in the right direction to the same people that they're persecuting?
I think the Marxist government there has been giving a few perks to George W. Bush and maybe some congressmen, and they're just giving me a little payback.
It could be George Bush is trying to look good to the Christian right and by saying, I'm sending some money to help Sudan. But, I mean, what guarantee do we have that this money is actually going to the people we're concerned about?
Oh, well, you don't, of course. I mean, how could you? I mean, the government handouts are never a good way to provide welfare for another country at any rate.
Well, my understanding is that a lot of these foreign aid programs end up just supporting the government and not going to the people that actually need the money. Of course, I don't believe there should be any foreign aid in the first place. Some of us can still remember when President George H.W. Bush justified sending billions of dollars in foreign aid to Iraq by telling the American people back in 1989 that Saddam Hussein was America's friend and ally. So man, this is just more craziness. It defies logic, and I don't understand how stuff like this can happen.
It defies logic if you happen to be holding on to the worldview that we hold to, which is entirely different than theirs. For them, it probably makes a whole lot of sense to give these destabilizing welfare state programs. At any rate, there's a number of things we could be talking about online. We have a caller actually on the line at the moment. So
we have a caller.
We do. We have a caller.
I'm excited.
And we'd like to welcome you to Christian Worldview. Who are we speaking with this morning? Well, we can't seem to hear you on the air here. Who are we speaking?
Let's try again. Oh, now we hear something. We hear that tone.
Who are we speaking with this morning?
Nelson, we can faintly hear you, but we're glad that you're on the air. What's going on, Nelson?
Maybe I'll try on my other phone. Bye for now.
Okay.
Well, we had a caller on the line. We need to probably get our gear together.
Somebody write that down. We had a call today.
Yeah.
We want to make note of that.
Yeah, that's.
I'll make an announcement on the website.
Yeah, we.
TyrannyResponse.com.
Yeah, we have a new website, by the way, TyrannyResponse.com. Will .net also work, or is it just .com so far?
I just got .com so far.
Okay. All right. So it's the Tyranny Response Network, but we're going to be at TyrannyResponse.com for whatever reason. Because I think Richie thinks it's more...
.com is the way to go, man.
It's
like .com.
Like people like .com.
.com is where it's at.
All right.
So, and I paid for the .com. If somebody else wants to fork out a few bucks for the .net, then we'll point it at the same direction.
Okay. So it's always an issue of money. That's right. Okay. Well, here at the Tyranny Response Network, there seems to be a lot of issues with money here and there. By the way, we need some computers, folks. If you have an old computer that you can donate to the Tyranny Response Network.
Or a new computer.
We'll take a new one. Yeah. In fact, our production staff would like you to know that he believes he had a dream that they're... kind of like Pharaoh's dream or something.
I had a vision.
There you go. Of you going down to the store like Best Buy, opening up your wallet, pulling it out your credit card, and actually purchasing a new computer and delivering it to the Integrity Group for purpose of handing it off to the Tyranny Response Network. You can bring, seriously, folks, new or used computers if you have one. We are in need of them right now to the Integrity Group. 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville area. It's 514 Pettigrew Street. Appreciate it. And also your financial support is greatly appreciated here at the Tyranny Response Network. If you want to support TRN, go to the policyofliberty.net website for now. Scroll down to the link which says production, or I believe it's production, and there are a number of links there for contacting TRN. Send them an email and let them know what you would like to contribute, and we'll be sure we get back in touch with you.
That's policyofliberty.net.
That's right.
Which can also be linked to from tyrannyresponse.com.
See, that just doesn't match to me, having a .com with a .net. And we're a network here. Shouldn't we use a .net extension?
.com is what everybody thinks of. When you think internet, you think .com.
But don't people go to .com?
Am I right, producer? .com is what you automatically think of. That's the number one suffix or whatever you want to call
it. Well, if we're operating Walmart, yeah, but we're a network of, you know, I mean.
Well, no, technically you're correct. But the American public does not base their decisions on technicalities.
That's my problem. I'm correct about everything I speak about, I think. And yet the American public doesn't follow what I suggest because they're pragmatic or they come up with these faulty solutions, these short-wired, short-circuited solutions that don't end up producing anything but chaos.
Yeah, it's not always what's – I mean, we have to think about what is most user-friendly to the average person, not to people that actually spend a lot of time thinking it out.
All right, so the same people that said we need to write college-level textbook in an eighth-grade English-level format because they won't understand have now influenced the Tyranny Response Network. We are stooping to your level to make sure that you can understand or find
TyrannyResponse.com.
Okay, check us out on the web at TyrannyResponse.com. This webpage, by the way, is going to get better and better as days go on.
That's what you think.
At the moment, it's a little bit meager in its content, but it's only a day old. You got to give it a little bit of a break.
Look, it's got a link to your site and a link to my site. What more do you need?
Well, those are important things. Once we have those, we do pretty well. At any rate, here we are with a couple other stories. Richie, what have you got there as far as a story goes? Anything of interest?
Oh, yeah. We've got our last story that for the day that we were going to mention is who paved the way for socialized medicine. And this might come as a surprise to some of you. Let's see. Let me find the story. Guess who paved the way to socialized medicine? Now, this is actually an older story, but very interesting. At the same time, in 1997, Congress passed and President Clinton signed into law the largest expansion of government health care since 1965, when Medicaid and Medicare were created. Now, who controlled Congress in 1997?
Goons, thugs, and extortionists.
I mean, which political party?
Oh, well, they're the same.
The
goons, the thugs, and the extortionists. If they wear a yellow suit or a blue suit.
That would be both parties. I'm asking in particular, which party controlled Congress in 1997?
I think it was the Yellow Jackets.
It goes without saying that it was the criminals, the thugs, etc. Mm. No, it was the Republicans. I mean, this was 3 years after the so-called Republican Revolution.
Oh, that's right. Was this the
remember the Republican Revolution?
With Salamander Gingrich or Newt or whatever he was?
Oh, it was revolutionary.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, Newt Gingrich. Mm-hmm. And of course, we hate it when Clinton commits adultery, but we don't mind when Newt Gingrich does it.
Well, he's a lizard. I mean, he's expected to behave that way. That's silly.
Look, we may have listeners named Newt, okay? So
yeah, okay. Well, we don't want
enough of the jokes about people's names,
that's
all right?
True. You have a good point there. Okay. I apologize. I've never seen anybody named Newt before.
Well, the name John is with the connotations as well.
Well, that's true, but it's well known. But I mean,
bathrooms, yeah. Guys that pick up prostitutes. How do you like to make fun of your name, John?
Do they?
How does it feel, buddy?
Do they call people John who pick up those who pick up prostitutes in
New
York?
Yeah, it's called John. Yeah.
Man, New York, you people are weird up there. I'll tell you.
No, that's everywhere. Yeah. It's been on TV.
Maybe. Oh.
Which is a notch above the internet.
You crack me up. Okay. Well, there may be newts out there. You get these funny names from
apologize to him.
In the South. Yeah. He should apologize to me for raping, pillaging, and plundering me and all his programs. Oh, he was such a good guy. George and people right down the road from us here who are really carpetbaggers, scallywags, something like that. Definitely not a copperhead.
So in 97, this bill was passed. Now, why did they do it? Why did Republicans help create the largest federally funded health entitlement program since 1965? And they caved in to the Democrats' savvy political strategy. Mm. And here's how it worked. They said, look, let's propose a new government program for children. It's for the children! And fund it with cigarette taxes. Then, if the Republicans oppose kid care, we'll charge that they don't care about the children. and that the only reason they oppose it is because the Republicans get large sums of money from tobacco industry. And that's a pretty good strategy.
Yeah, it is.
It worked.
It did. And how in the world they get abortion through and caring about the children thing? There's such a contradiction, I tell you.
Yeah, I don't really understand caring about the children and killing the children at the same time.
Well, I've heard some people talk about loving your neighbor means killing them in certain circumstances.
Well, you know, if someone starves to death, then that's just a great way to go. That's euphoric.
Yeah, it's kind of more painful that way, I understand.
It's euphoric.
Oh, euphoric.
Yeah, when you starve to death, it's euphoric. That's what we were told with Terry Schiavo.
Okay. Yeah, she looked like she must be in euphoria there. We wouldn't know because she couldn't say anything. But
they said that she was being starved to death, and it was euphoric. That's what they told us.
Yeah.
So I don't know why we try to raise money for these people in other countries that are starving. Don't we want them to have their euphoria?
I don't know either. I mean, we should leave them that way. It's their blight. Anyway, there are so many different ways that we could actually help with foreign countries that don't involve just handouts to goons and thugs in their government system. You know, we're coming up to a point where we need to take another. If we're going to take any more breaks in this show, we're going to have to take one right now because
that's true.
It's now or never, and then we'll have no more breaks when we come back. So you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben with my guest host this week, Rippin' Richie Williams, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
The people never give up their liberties, but under some delusion. Edmund Burke.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's NPPros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
In Common Sense, Thomas Paine writes, "Could we take off the dark covering of antiquity pertaining to the origin of kings and of the state and trace them to their first rise, we should find the first of them nothing better than the principal ruffian of some restless gang, whose savage manners or preeminence subtly obtained him the title of chief among plunderers, and who by increasing in power and extending his depredations overawed the quiet and defenseless to purchase their safety by frequent contributions."
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Welcome back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. And exciting news, we have our caller back on the line.
Welcome to the show, Nelson.
Good morning, gentlemen. How goes?
We're going along pretty well. We're being a little more sarcastic than normal this morning. What's on your mind?
I was actually calling to say I don't think this time in our country's history allows for sarcasm on topical matters, gentlemen. In fact, I hate to tell you, I think you're both being rather unpatriotic.
Okay.
Yeah, you have to understand something. As long as there's a war going on under a Republican president, we have to back him. And we have to just make allowances.
You're absolutely right. I mean, there's a time in public school I think I learned that. Maybe it was a government class. Maybe it was civics or something like that, and I'd forgotten it after so many years.
Now you're being facetious about the public school. That's an aspect of government, John. Don't you understand that? The federal schools are part of the federal government, and we have to understand for the duration that things are not going to necessarily go exactly as we might want them to. Now, we've got a war going on, and that means that we've got to allow extra latitude support this thing. I mean, really, to complain about taxes and socialistic programs at this point, I think, is bordering on the obscene. I'm willing for America to pay any amount of money to kill this terrorist problem. Are you not?
You know, I agree, and I've actually seen the error of my ways. I think we should stop the show right now and also the Pledge of Allegiance.
I think we ought to take out our credit cards and just call the federal government and tell them it's carte blanche.
Yeah, really, it's the least we can do.
You are getting on the national ID. If giving us, the populace, a national federal ID card with our retina scan and our DNA for whatever helps to solve the terrorist problem, well, then you ought to be for it, too. And anybody, by the way, who disagrees with my position ought to be shot, because they're nothing but scum.
That's right. I've come around now. I understand now.
Would they actually increase my credit limit, do you suppose, Nelson, if I apply and tell them that I'm going to be sending all my money off to the federal government to support the war against terrorism or drugs or anything else that they're fighting these days?
He's gone.
We lost the caller.
Goodness. You know, I wonder if Al-Qaeda cut his line or something. Because he had a plan there that would have meant the certain demise of Al-Qaeda.
Yeah, that's right. Well, that was an interesting call from Nelson. A little bit out of character for what we normally hear from Nelson, but we appreciate the call very much, Nelson. Not sure why we lost you there on the line, but it may be something on our end. It may be that there was just a hang-up. Somebody got hung up there on there. Anyway,
I think he had said what needed to be said.
Okay, that was probably it. Well, appreciate the call this morning, Nelson. If you'd like to call the show, we still have some time for you to get on the air. It's 864-244-8177. If you have trouble getting through on that line, as Nelson apparently did, you can try our backup line, 864-201-6955. Questions may also be sent to the show 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. Well, what else are we talking about today here, Rich? Something about the border, wasn't it? Didn't you have some story about the border that you announced we'd be talking about today?
Well, I mentioned the border because we had the new ID card. And I was saying that we've got the ID card to stop terrorism, but we won't even secure the border.
Okay.
So I'm out of stories, man. That's all I got.
Okay. Well, LouRockwell.com has a story on the border with the vigilantes by Michael Gaddy. It was sent up by our research staff. Says something unlike the most 875 or so true. Oh, my internet just skipped on me. Hang on. Are so true American patriots that showed up in Arizona to do what our government refuses to do. I was not particularly upset with the comment by George W. Bush that referred to the Minuteman Project as volunteers as vigilantes. Considering dubious, well-documented problems with the English language, I thought it might be possible that old George did not want anyone on the border who might actually be vigilant. According to our government, and the 9/11 Commission was a lack of vigilance by a bloated, incompetent $40 billion per year federal bureaucracy that led to the catastrophic events of 9/11.
Good point.
So he makes an interesting point here on this on this site. Now we want to go right away to a caller because we're running close to the end of the show.
Got another call.
Welcome to Christian Worldview. This is Dr. John Coben. Go ahead. Who am I speaking with?
Good morning. This is Kyle calling from Greer.
Good morning, Kyle. Thanks for calling the show. This you're a first-time caller, aren't you?
That is correct. Just started listening to you guys, I guess, last week.
Okay, good. Well, how's the reception over in Greer?
I listen to you as I move all around. My job requires me to drive around most of the city, so it's pretty good most places.
Great. Well, what's on your mind today, Kyle?
Well, I've been privileged to be privy to a lot of the information you've been disseminating here, and I agree with it, but my frustration comes in with the application of it. You know, sometimes the information is a great thing, but how do we put all that into play? I know that there are different battles, but sometimes you have to choose your battles. Sometimes it just becomes more frustrating to have all this knowledge and not be able to actually put it into play. Any comments on that?
I have some comments, but go ahead and let Richie jump in here. You might have something to say as well.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it sounds to me like he's wondering where we're going to, you know, what do we do with this knowledge? I would say the first thing we have to do is get more people to understand what's really going on, to understand what is necessary for good government. We need, you know, more people that are thinking like the founding fathers thought, which is how we think. Once we have enough people to do that, I think the next step would be a lot of third-party voting so that we can throw things out of whack. And the third-party voting, either we're going to get a good third party, or we're going to force one of the, probably the Republican Party, to move far enough to the right where they're actually going to do some good. That I would think that would be where we would go from here.
All right, and I have a couple comments too, Kyle, and that's on Christian Worldview. I actually do promote a number of solutions. I don't advocate a monolithic stand, but we entertain all sorts of ideas. And people, many listeners do already support getting rid of Social Security numbers, driver's license, things like this, defunding the federal establishment by simply not paying income taxes on constitutional grounds. These things. And as one studies the code, for instance, and finds out he's not a taxpayer and he doesn't file anymore, we advocate that these things might well be good solutions. But even on a more benign level, things like getting rid of your marriage license and going with a covenant-based marriage and getting the state out of the marriage, these are small steps you can take. But I think one of the most important steps we can take is to simply get people to listen to Christian Worldview or the Tyranny Response Network that has an alternative vision or perspective on things that begins to actually mold and change people's minds away from the manipulative media and public schooling that they got. And I've already had, I get calls of praise and accolade probably every week, I'd say, from very excited listeners who spread the word. And then those listeners go, go in and say, Dr. Coben, you know, I used to think this, but I've changed my mind on this particular issue. So, I think the radio is a huge piece of it too, and I think what Richie said is also a very integral part of it. What are your thoughts, Kyle?
Well, I think the third party thing. I don't mean to be pessimistic and negative. I don't think the third party will ever happen. I voted for the lesser of two evils, George Bush, and because I hated to let the alternative get in there, and I know that I'm as frustrated as anybody, Republicans. Democrats, there's very little difference between them.
Yeah.
At the same time, I have a hard time not voting for the lesser of two evils, and also, I just don't think the third party is ever going to gain enough steam to do anything. So the only other solution I see is what you're saying, is just people taking their individual rights, person by person, and applying it. But and then maybe someday there'll be a big enough group, but. People think you're an absolute lunatic that don't know anything about the things you're talking about. They think you're just totally, conspiracy theorists and all this kind of stuff. And it almost just seems to me like people have to take back their freedom and just have an undercurrent of people out there that know their rights and take it back. But whether it actually ever shows up in the public arena, I just have a lot of doubt about that.
Well, you make a good point, and I'll just jump in here and say that our show has a little bit more credibility in the sense that we don't buy in lock, stock, and barrel to conspiracy theories, although we listen to them, are willing to entertain anything as long as it can be backed up with good source material. But I think we can be more persuasive by moving more academics, and we've tried to do that on Christian Worldview, out of their ivory towers, so to speak, and provide credible, strong, convincing, coherent arguments that people can latch onto. And actually change their opinions. Dr. Stephen Yates is another one who's doing that in the Upstate with the Christian Worldview Center. And there's Dr. Tim Terrell at Wofford University. And there are several of us who are working to this, and I think this is really the way we need to run. You know, Kyle, I hate to cut us off here, but we are actually running up right towards the end of the show, and I really appreciate the call this morning, and I hope you'll call back again to Christian Worldview and carry on this and other great conversations.
Thanks for your work.
Thanks so much, Kyle, for calling. And we wish you a great day for the rest of the day. This is Dr. John Coben signing off on Christian Worldview, wishing you saying God bless you.
And this is Rip and Richie. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks a lot.
You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben on TRN. Join us again tomorrow morning right here at 97.7 FM on the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Pizza Palace, guaranteed hot in 30 minutes or it's free. This is Mary. May I take your order?
Hi, Mary. Yes, I'd like to order.
Is this Mr. Kelly?
Yes.
Thank you for calling.